Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Online Warriors podcast. You'll notice I don't normally start the episode. That's usually Illegal's job, but he is not here today, and it is a date night spectacular.
Yay.
Featuring me, Nerd Bomber.
And me, Tech Tick.
Woohoo. All right, so we have an awesome show for you today. We're going to be talking about the latest news from the Pokemon Presents that happened in the last week, as well as the latest trailer for the new Ghostbusters movie. But before we get into that, and this is not a sponsored episode, this is not a sponsored podcast. Guys, today, the 6th, is National Oreo Day.
Woo! Now, specifically, I want to talk about shout out to Pop Rock Oreos.
Okay,
because, like,
yes,
they are on a whole nother level.
Pop Rock Oreos, so there's currently, I don't remember the exact name, I think it's like Space Dunks, maybe? That doesn't seem right, but it's some kind of like space theme.
But it's not like the Space Dunks that be doing it. It's really just
Rocks.
Like, well, yeah, because I don't care if it's Space Dunks. I don't care if it's the 4th of July firework Oreos. I just like Pop Rocks in my Oreos.
I agree. Now, outside of the Pop Rocks Oreos, which I have to say, though, when they were limited to the 4th of July edition ones, we definitely did stock up that year. Like, I think we went to the store and we bought, like, something absurd, like 20 containers.
Yeah, we were still handing out Oreos months later.
We did make sure they didn't expire. We ate them before they expired, but, like, we were all in on Pop Rocks Oreos. And I'm surprised we forgot to buy them in our latest grocery run this week, the latest, like, Space Dunk Pop Rock nonsense, but I'm gonna have to remember because, like, it's a very limited edition thing. I feel like they should just make it permanent because then I would only ever buy Pop Rocks Oreos. But the real question of the day is, how do you eat your Oreo? Do you just bite into it like a heathen? Do you twist and then eat the two halves? Do you twist and open it and then lick the cream out and then eat the cookies? Like, how do you do it? What is your Oreo cooking eating habit?
Okay, so there's a scientific answer. So if you're just throwing Oreos back, you're getting a lot of that Oreo cookie in your mouth. And if anyone's familiar with Oreo mouth, you know what I'm talking about. It literally looks like you have rotting teeth. So if you at least split the cookie in half, you can, like, have an opportunity to, like, clean a lot of that out more quickly, where you're not like, that's a lot of cookie. So that's the first half. So splitting in half is an absolute must. The second question was, do you lick off the cream and then eat the Oreo halves? No, because again, it's all about not looking like a weirdo. And if you're licking cream off, you have to also avoid eye contact. And if you accidentally make eye contact, you look like a weirdo.
See, I'm all about licking the cream out of the center first because it makes the Oreo last longer.
And it makes me uncomfortable.
Well, why are you watching me that close?
Why are you making eye contact?
I'm not making eye contact. I'm usually just sitting there eating my Oreo, minding my business. And then you're like, what are you doing? And then you make eye contact with me.
Well, okay.
And
she's
just like...
People, you're probably envisioning just like her licking off the cream, okay? No, she's not licking off the cream. She's lizard tonguing underneath the cream to flapjack it into her mouth. It doesn't look normal. This is not licking off cream. This is lizard tonguing. I want to be clear here.
I mean, you aren't wrong. But do you remember, now I'm totally pivoting, now I'm just on like Oreo brain. Do you remember back in the day, and maybe this will date us, but like maybe it was the early 2000s and there was a competition and the Oreos actually had the letters O-R-E-O on them. And whoever would get all four letters to spell Oreo, you would win like $10,000 or something. And I was so close. My cookies were getting stale. I had the two O's. I had, I think, an R, and I could never get the damn
getting
E.
The two O's is not like, were they different O's?
No, I think they were the same.
So you get one O, you get one pack of O's, you get two O's.
Right, but like every cookie, like the E's were very rare and like most of them were O's. Like most of the packages just had O's. So to get the R and the E was like a rare
find. I never heard of this competition.
Yeah, it was. Look it up. I'm not making this up. Maybe it was a fever dream, but I don't think so. And I just remember I had, because as you said, I lizard tongue and lick my Oreos. Ugh. We just had these slightly soggy Oreos that I refused to let my mom throw out because I would just like leave them in a baggie because I was hoping to collect them all. And this was also before the time when like cell phones existed. So you actually had to like mail back the cookies as proof, which looking back, like how did that work? Because what if they got crushed in the mail? What a heartbreak.
You should have just crushed them up and then, oh, I sent them.
I don't know if that would have worked. Anyway, happy National Oreo Day to you all. I hope you all celebrate with a double stuff of
fun. Single stuff. That's too much cream for one person.
To be fair, the only thing I don't like about the Space Dunk Oreos, and again, I'm not sure if they're called Space Dunk, so fact check the crap out of me. They are a little bit too thick. Like the red, white, and blue 4th of July version of the Pop Rocks Oreos, they were thin, and this new space version of the Pop Rocks Oreos is just, it's got like double stuff layer, and I don't love that. It also tastes a little bit more marshmallowy than standard like Oreo filling, but the Pop Rocks make up for it. Again, this is not an ad. I just freaking love Pop Rocks in my Oreos.
Yeah, I don't agree with you, but yeah, shout out to Pop Rock Oreos. I think they're the proper amount of filling.
All right. So now we're going to get into what we are super excited about, and that is the Pokemon Presents news. And, you know, there was a bunch of stuff here. They talked about Pokemon Sleep getting the three dogs. They talked about, you know, Pokemon Go having a Pokemon Horizons event. So Pikachu with the captain hat and, you know, some of the Sharkadet, Armarouge, and Cerulege coming into Pokemon Go. But I think the two big things that we want to talk about that we really care about here are Pokemon Trading Card Game Pocket and Pokemon Legends Z-A. So first, let's talk about Pokemon Trading Card Game Pocket. Essentially, this is a new mobile app, which is based on the Pokemon Trading Card Game. And this is different than Pokemon Trading Card Game Live. I just have to throw that out there because that is also an app that exists. And that is the, I guess, the progeny of, you know, the Pokemon TCG Online. This is not that. This is going to be its own separate app. And this seems like it's more focused on collecting cards, but they will have battle, like card battle elements to this, but they're going to give you 2 packs a day for free that you can open. A lot of the cards are going to be very reminiscent of the, you know, standard card game cards that you would get physically. But then there's also going to be these like new immersive cards where you click on it and it's a whole like scene and scape that you can look into. And then of course there's going to be, they said, short battles. Kind of gave me vibes of like Marvel Snap levels, like very quick games, not the full drawn out Pokemon trading card game battles that we already know. This seems like it's a quicker, snappier version. So Tectic, what is your thought on this?
So one of my biggest kind of things that I enjoy about TCG in general is that when you buy a pack in real life, you get the card and you can scan it. And I'm not sure if that applies here. And I'd like to know if it does or doesn't. Now, that said, if it doesn't, I can see there's pros and cons with there. If it doesn't, then it doesn't make people who can't really afford to be buying tons of packs still able to play and enjoy the Pokemon trading card game and get out there and be exposed to it. And maybe ultimately that'll build a love for them to buy the cards and play it in real life. The other side of it is I don't really see where the like, there's always got to be a profit side of this game. And I don't see where it is. Do you buy virtual packs?
I think that would be the thing, because they said they're giving you 2 free packs, but that's kind of just like feed the addiction. And then obviously they're hoping that you would buy more.
But I don't like that. I don't like the fact that people are going to want to buy virtual packs. I'd rather it encourages the sale of real packs that aren't just going to go to the wayside.
I've never played Marvel Snap, so somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but if I understand Marvel Snap correctly, you can buy cards and you can buy packs, but you can also earn them by playing the game. And I wonder if they won't take that sort of approach here, where you would be able to buy virtual packs, but you'd also, you know, by playing and battling and trading with people, maybe you would unlock packs. There's just not a lot of information. Like, they kind of gave you an overview of what the app was, but like you said, like, is this going to be connected if you do play Pokemon Trading Card Game Live? Like, we have, I don't want to say a decade's worth of cards built up in our collection there, but I would say it's at least 5 to 6 years of cards that, you know, we've gotten virtually, but also cards that we've earned via code cards when we buy the physical cards. So will that be interlinked? Because these apps are at the moment very separate entities. So how does that work? Or is this just going to be a standalone? I would love to know that.
Yeah, agreed. Now, like I said, my only thing is, when can we start playing it? They only tell us 2024, and I just want to know what month, because at the end of the day, I am a slut for Pokemon. I love the trading card game. I've tried to expose like family and friends to it, and it's just, I think it's a lot more rewarding than the actual game. Don't at me. I really like the strategy behind the trading card game.
Well, what is interesting, so we used to play a Pokemon trading card game online, which was very much just computer-based. You could only play it on your PC or I think maybe Mac, but you had to be on a computer. And so they've since transitioned to Pokemon trading card game live. And that does have our old account. They transferred all that stuff over. So all of our cards, all of our decks. I'm surprised that you've never downloaded and tried to play that.
I did, but it's not on your phone app.
It is. No, they released it on your phone. That's why I'm a little bit curious why these are two separate entities and why they didn't know that exists.
Yeah, why didn't they do that?
Like, I feel like if they wanted to lean into the collectible aspect, you already have a user base playing the mobile version of Pokemon Trading Card Game Live. In fact, it even looks like they have quick battles. Like, I don't understand why you wouldn't build that into Pokemon Trading Card Game Live and have like a quick battle mode and then have your full battle mode. And then you could have your full card collection and then you could introduce the immersive cards. I'm just a little confused. And now I feel like I'm going to eventually download both of these apps to see what the difference is.
So Pokemon Trading Card Game Pocket, who owns that one? And the TCG mobile app, who owns that one?
That is a very good question.
I'm wondering if it's like a vertical integration strategy kind of thing.
Wow, talking corporate to me.
Yeah, I am.
I mean, we can do some fact checking here. Why don't you talk us through your experience and why you think a lighter version of the Pokemon trading card game will be successful on mobile?
That's what's weird about it is that I don't think it appears that much lighter. I mean, what is there really to the Pokemon TCG that this didn't show? It, like I said, it showed trading, it showed battling with friends. It showed, I'd imagine it has the same kind of you can verse computer and all another nonsense. Don't know what's different. And I want to know. And I, to me, maybe it's just Nintendo is going to get to a point where this builds success and they go, okay, we're done with you.
All right. So it looks like TCG Live is trying to offer a true to mechanic digital experience, whereas TCG Pocket will have more like gacha style gameplay. So basically the difference here is just one is a lighter version, kind of like Marvel Snap, as we were discussing. I don't see a difference here in the developers, though. It seems like they might just be, like you said, two different products of the same Pokemon company.
Weird. That's my review. Weird.
The interesting thing, though, was like TCG Live was just released in 2023. So this coming out in 2024, I'm very, very, very confused. Apparently, it's got issues, TCG Live, but I'm just very confused. That said, I am excited to play it. I think I'm going to have to, like I said, my biggest thing is, will my cards transfer over? Because we, like you said, we've bought a lot of cards in our day. We've redeemed a lot of cards in our day. We've opened a lot of packs on TCG Online/Live. I would hate to start over and lose all of that progress.
This to me feels like we should both play it, review it, and circle back. Another corporate term.
100%. 100% agree. So moving off of, you know, the Pokemon trading card game and into more mainline Pokemon video games, they also announced Pokemon Legends Z to A. So this was the, you know, the thing they saved for the end of the show. This was their big announcement. And this is going to be a Legends Arceus style game coming in 2025. But all of this game is looking like it's set in Lumio City. They didn't show a lot of gameplay here. They had like a blueprint style sketch style montage, so we didn't really see a whole lot, but it looked like there was going to be a mix of like ancient times maybe crossing over into more modern Pokemon world, because some of the, you know, the montage that we saw was obviously like trainers in what looked like modern garb, you know, playing with their Pokemon and training their Pokemon. So Legend style gameplay, not sure about, you know, the time zone that this is going to be set in, if it's like Legends Arceus. I mean, Legends would imply that it's an old style game. But anyway, the other thing too to mention is that they're bringing Mega Evolutions back in this game.
Yeah, so first and foremost, Mega Evolutions was the peak gimmick that Pokemon has ever offered. When they followed on with Gigantamax and then Terraforms, those were terrible. One, the Terraform is just a dumbass crown. Cool, nobody cares.
Well, every Pokemon could Terra Evolve too, which sucked.
Yeah, and then two, the Gigantamax was really, really frustrating because you would in the game you had these battles, right? And some of the Gigantamax had like cool forms that you would be fighting against, and then you'd get the same Pokemon and yours didn't turn to that form. And it was really, really frustrating because you wanted that sweet form and you got the Plain Jane extra large version. And I didn't want the Plain Jane extra large version. I wanted the cool new form. And so it was just kind of, again, a dud spud type of release. The Mega Evolutions were just a true new evolution, new art to be had, new form. Everything about it was just absolutely peak. And they're coming back. That alone gets me excited for this. I don't care if the game is janky, if like the story sucks, if it's really, really easy. I don't care. I do not care. The fact that I'm getting more Mega Evolutions and probably a Charizard Z, let's be real here. We're going to get a Charizard Z. We have to. If we've got an X and a Y, and same with Mewtwo, Mewtwo X, Mewtwo Y, we're going to get a Z. It's going to happen. But more importantly, it's another opportunity for the people that didn't get love to get a Mega Evolution. Shout out to Lapras. Shout out to Dragonite. Let's get those Megas.
You said that Mega Evolutions is enough to basically overshadow any potential flaws that this game may have. And I did not play Legends Arceus yet. Did you play? You played Legends Arceus and Scarlet Violet. Now, I understand both were open world style. I actually really enjoyed Scarlet Violet. Like, I thought that was prime Pokemon. But Legends had different mechanics.
Legends was weird.
So from what I understand, Pokemon Legends Arceus is a little bit more like Pokemon Go style gameplay instead of, you know, like battling. Yeah, you're throwing balls at Pokemon and trying to get as many as you can to like level up. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, then you would like bring them back and like you put them in your pen. It was like, it was very weird and it wasn't true to Pokemon because you were still kind of figuring out how to be a trainer. This was like way back in the day. And then this
were there any battles?
Sort of battles with like other people-ish.
Because like I'm trying to understand where the Mega Evolutions come into play if there's no true Pokemon battles.
The battles that really happened was there was these like corrupt forms. Like that's where you got that angry Scyther, and then the other, like, I guess they were like god forms. There was like a Scyther, there was like an Arcanine, and you had to kind of fight them, but it was more like these like weird quick time events. It wasn't like a true Pokemon battle. It was really you were fighting them. Like you were going toe-to-toe, like, let me add them, square up, let's go. And the Pokemon battles didn't come until the next series. With this being in the future, and in the preview, we saw a lot of Pokemon running around. They were very much integrated into society at this point. There's going to be Pokemon battles. So it's going to be, I think, not so much like Legend of Arceus, but more like Scarlet and Violet within that Arceus genre.
But then why would they specifically call it out as like a legend style game? I guess
I think they're just going to play on Arceus jumping around and asking, trainer, help me. This is what's going on in this rift and we need your help. I think it's just more of a plot point than it is an actual gameplay mechanism.
Okay, that's interesting. Because like I said, like I still have to play Legends Arceus. I really do. It's on my list. The backlog is long, guys. The backlog is long. I did really like Scarlet and Violet, though. Like, I guess my confusion, like, I thought Legends of Arceus was kind of like the stepping stone. Like, they were just kind of dabbling in the open world, you know, genre. And then they were taking it to the next level with Scarlet and Violet. And I just kind of assumed that it would continue to grow from there. Like, I would be totally okay. Scarlet and Violet was one of those games where I probably had the most fun with a Pokemon game than I have had in decades. And so, again, I've heard mixed things about Legends Arceus. I don't know. I guess I would have preferred a Scarlet Violet style game next. Not that it can't be a mixture of the two, but I just worry that it won't be. And then I'm just going to be like running around throwing balls at Pokemon. And I don't want to do that. I want to battle them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that said, like, it could be worse. If you remember Sword and Shield, they had that weird open world where, like, you couldn't do anything if they were strong. It would just be like, you're too weak, run away.
That sucked. Although,
that was terrible.
That game, a lot of people gave that a lot of hate, and I had fun with that, too. Maybe I'm just a shill for the Pokemon experience, and, like, the nostalgia is just blinding me from anything that these games do wrong. But I have fun with them, no matter what they tend to do.
This is actually why we covered this topic today when Illegal is not here, because he would have been like, nah, who cares? And we're we're sluts for Pokemon.
He would have been saying Pokemon and my brain would have exploded. Like this entire segment, he would have been calling it Pokemon.
He actually was available, but we told him to stay home.
Now, I know you've mentioned a few like Lapras, you want to see like a Charizard Z. If there was one Pokemon that hasn't gotten a Mega Evolution yet that you want to see, what is the single one that
Dragonite.
You want?
You know this answer. It's Dragonite. It's always Dragonite. Anything,
didn't Dragonite already have a Mega Evolution?
He did not. Does not.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So like my top six, most of them have Mega Evolution so far. My top six growing up, it was Alakazam's got a Mega. Charizard's got a Mega. Dragonite does not. And then there was Kabutops. And there was a couple, who else? A couple others. But I just need to finish out that six. And then I could be a happy person.
I think... For me, I mean, you mentioned Lapras. Lapras is one of my favorite Pokemon. So that is definitely up there. But I think something that would be really fun to see would be Arcanine. Like a Mega Arcanine would be sick. And I feel like you could have your multiple Mega Evolutions and kind of almost pull like a Charizard where you have like a blue version of Arcanine and then you just have like a really flamier red version of Arcanine. And I like Big Dog. I like Big Dog. So Arcanine would be something that would be really cool to see. But also, like you said, Lapras. Lapras is one of my faves. And Lapras doesn't get any love. They don't get any evolutions. And Lapras in blue and red. Everyone loved a good Lapras to surf on.
Agreed. Let's bring it on. More Megas, folks. More Megas.
All right. Before we hit on our third topic, we are going to take a short little break here. But before we do, I would be remiss, Illegal would be proud, if I didn't mention our fantastic Patreon producer, Stephen Keller. Stephen was just on our show, I believe, last week, and he has the wonderful perk as our Patreon producer of coming on the show every now and then, you know, getting a guest spot, talking about some of his favorite topics. He picked Nintendo Direct. He's not a big Pokemon guy, but, you know, he... is getting more follow-up with Nintendo stuff now.
Also, I just want to do a shout-out. Mega Arcanine would be perfect because it would tie in with Legends of Arceus because he was one of the boss fights. So ooh. I think that would be a good tie-in. So I just wanted to shout-out. That was an excellent choice.
So shout-out to Steven and Mega Arcanine. If you are interested in being a Patreon producer and being as cool as Steven or even just supporting us at any level, we do have three different levels on our Patreon. We have the Knight, the Squire, and the Lowly Page. Although the Page is very cool and not lowly at all. There are various perks at the different levels. You get either a secret segment for the month, there's vlogs, there's voting on our quiz, which we don't unfortunately have this week because there's only two of us and that's just not very fun. You can vote on quiz topics. And, you know, while Tectic develops his game, he even throws out some previews for some of the stuff that he's doing and gets some of your feedback and advice. So if you're interested in supporting the show, helping us keep the lights on here at Online Warriors Podcast Central, head on over to www.patreon.com/Online Warriors Podcast.
Welcome aboard Two Vague Airlines. We're cruising here at 40,000 feet. That might be too many feet, but what do I know? I'm not really an airplane. I'm a podcaster. Actually, I'm a co-podcaster. I'm the co-host of several episodes of the Two Vague podcast. If you haven't heard it, you're missing out. Check out the Two Vague podcast. Any place podcasts do whatever they do.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned off the fasten seatbelt sign. For your continued safety, Two Vague Airlines requires that you keep your seatbelt fastened at all times while seated. But while you're seated, you can tune into the Two Vague podcast, TWOVAGUE, on your favorite podcast services and enjoy the flight.
When something strange in your neighborhood.
And we're back. With our next news topic, Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire. So a new trailer for this movie just dropped. The movie is coming out March 22nd, 2024, so not very far away now. And this is the final trailer before the movie comes out. Tectic, what did you think of this? Can you give us a little summary of what you saw in this trailer, what you thought?
So the plot point appears to be there's a big bad ghost that's bringing up all the big bad ghosts, which means that there's going to be a lot of big bad callbacks. And we already saw the Michelin man in little tiny form, like weirdly cutting himself up, it looked like. It was kind of weird. But that's a callback to the very first Ghostbusters movie. So like you can get excited for just the callbacks alone. Now, my reaction of just watching this made me look at Nerdbomber and say, wow, we have to watch all of the other ones we've missed because we have fallen severely behind. The last Ghostbusters that I've actually seen was the ones from my childhood. And so, folks, it is time. We're hopping on board. We're getting on this train. All aboard to Ghost Town. Choo choo.
What is interesting, we didn't see Ghostbusters Afterlife either, and that's the one that came out in November 2021, and you know, this is basically the sequel to that, which kind of tried to, I don't want to say overwrite, but you know, there was the all-female Ghostbusters, and I think they tried to like shove that down in our memories so we don't remember that that existed.
There were female Ghostbusters?
There were.
I'm just kidding.
But so we didn't see that first one, but I don't remember the original Ghostbusters being as serious as this seems. And I mean, just looking at the cast, obviously you have a lot of funny comedians at the helm. I mean, you've got Paul Rudd. You obviously have some of the OGs, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson. You know, all of those will be coming back and reprising their roles. But this overall trailer, like I just remember the original Ghostbusters from back in the day being more funny, I guess funnier. And this just seems like it's trying to be a little bit more epic than it is comedic.
See, but I think the trailer back in the day came off as more funny. The movies, I will say, are equivalently funny. That said, the other thing I wanted to say is...
But this seemed more epic and less funny.
The trailer. I think yes. They're going to be equivalently hilarious based on the cast and crew. And everyone's just going to ghost hunt for or ghost bust because busting makes you feel good.
I do think it is interesting. Like, I'm not trying to say that they're turning Ghostbusters into like an MCU Marvel style franchise, but I do think it's interesting that they're calling back. And like, this kind of feels like the culmination of all of the movies thus far. And I wonder, like, is this going to be then the final one, or at least for like the next decade? Is this going to become like the nail in the franchise coffin? Because they're pulling all of the big bads from all Ghostbusters time back into this movie. And it kind of feels like that should just put a pin in it. We all know that's not necessarily what will be the case, but it feels like this should put a pin in it for a while.
Hollywood needs to know when they've officially like milked something for the appropriate amount of duration. And this is the right bow. We like the MCU and Disney are like floundering because they're not doing well. And like, I really do think Hollywood is starting to pick up on that and like go back to, okay, this is time. This is the nice bow scenario. Let's move on to the next content of remakes or what have you. Let's get another Starship Troopers or something. Some other remake.
I will say, unfortunately, apparently last month, Gil Keenan, he's the director, but he apparently revealed that, unfortunately for us, there are ideas for multiple future films in the franchise. So guys, maybe just like pump the brakes. Just pump the brakes.
Yeah, but future films doesn't necessarily mean within this timeline. It could be like other spinoffs, whatever. I think they need to bow this and move on to the next thing. Like you could do a spin, just make it about Ghost. Like what if the ghosts were the good guys all along? You know, and it was about the friends you made along the way. Something like that. I don't know.
That would actually be really interesting. Obviously, you couldn't do this because then your ghosts aren't real people. And I feel like that's just a harder sell for a movie because then it kind of feels like too CGI and gimmicky. But imagine if you have like an alternate universe series of these movies where it's all told from the perspective of the ghosts and humans are really the bad people.
Ooh, inversely, make it... Do Casper the Friendly Ghost, but have the Ghostbusters just beat the shit out of him. That'd be hilarious.
What happened to Casper, though?
He got busted.
Casper is probably due for a remake. We're seeing all of these franchises from the 80s and the 90s getting resurrected. Oh, yeah, Hocus Pocus.
Why wouldn't Casper come? He was your other dreamboat, wasn't he?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Young Casper, whew, little nerd bomber.
She's getting hot and bothered over here.
No, little nerd bomber was like, wow, what a dreamboat. I feel like Casper is another franchise that, you know, move on from Ghostbusters for a little bit, put a pin in it, bring back Casper.
Who's your recast Casper?
That's really tough because I don't know a lot of young actors. I think the crux of Casper was that it kind of towed the line between an adult and kid/family movie very well because Casper was a child when he was you know, made into a ghost. And so he retained that innocence and youthfulness and playfulness. But if you actually go back and you watch those Casper movies, they were relatively like dark and serious.
Did you find the dad to be kind of like charming in a dorky way?
I honestly could not tell you who the dad was.
I bet you if you rewatched it, you'd be like, I kind of like him.
Probably now that I'm older, like I forgot what we were watching recently, but there was something, maybe it was the Twilight movies. I think it was when we were doing our Twilight rewatch. And I was like, okay, Bella's dad is like...
You thought Bella's dad was like a thing?
No, I didn't think he was a thing.
It was
but
a mustache.
Like, when I'm looking at the cast of characters that are given to me, then like I no longer relate to the teenagers. So it's like, okay, well...
And Slim Pickens, I guess I'll go for her dad.
I mean, the vampires, I didn't like, they're too pasty and white, so like, nah, I'm all good on that front. Not into the vampires. So, like, if I had to pick somebody as an adult in the Twilight films,
this is fantastic.
I'm probably going with Bella's dad. Like, come on, who would you go for as an adult?
The baseball chick. I can't remember her name.
Oh, the
one that like sees Cullen into the mom. Future. Yeah.
But she was. She was a teenager then.
No, she was not.
She was.
She was not.
I mean, okay.
She was like hundreds of years old.
Sure, but like her actress was a teenager. Okay. To each their own.
Okay,
right.
This is Hollywood.
That's true. Anybody can do anything. So any other final takes on Ghostbusters?
Bustin makes me feel good.
Will you be seeing this after we rewatch
I think we
everything?
Need... So this is a little bit of what we're going to get into. What are you up to Wednesday? But like, I'm all aboard the like... either rewatch fantastic franchises or catch up on franchises we've missed out on. It is, we are in that era right now of cinema.
Well, I think it's important to rewatch stuff because there are sequels and prequels and alternate universes in these franchises that are now coming out. And like, even what we'll talk about in our What Are You Up To, part of the reason that we're pursuing that is because the franchise got resurrected.
I really want to tell them what I'm up to.
All right, then let's move into it. It's What Are You Up To
Wednesday?
All right. Tectic, why don't you go first? You're so excited.
I'm very excited. Okay, so, and the reason why I'm probably taking this from you, but like, honestly, like, you, this is something you've been asking me, hey, can we watch this? And I, oh, let's watch this, watch this. But I said, you know what? Let's do it. We started rewatching The Hunger Games in preparation for the prequel coming out.
Well, it already came out, but well,
coming
we're going
out to
watch
us.
It. Yeah, coming to streaming for us.
Yes. And I got to say, guys, this movie like is still incredibly relevant. And we've probably talked about this a little bit like on the show with like, you know, you look at celebrities and what they're wearing to like Golden Globes and things like that and the dystopian divide and like, oh my goodness, The Hunger Games was just done so well and like the characters and the way that they develop specifically, and that's why I'm really excited to watch the second one now, because we've established everyone in the first one, and which, by the way, I hated PETA in the first time I watched it. Now I'm like, he's so smart. He's so smart.
I feel like that is an evolution. So like, I don't want to speak for all females, but I feel like a lot of people, and especially if you read the book, you get a different side of them as well. But when you're watching it from my perspective, I'm like 18, 19, whenever these movies came out. I have already read the books at this part though too. So like, I also have that perspective in mind. I always thought Gale was just kind of a douche. I don't know why, but I noticed that all of my guy friends at the time all seem to like gravitate towards him, especially
it's,
he's
no,
not
no, no.
very prevalent in the first movie, but I feel like especially as the movies go on and he becomes a more prominent character, the dichotomy between him and PETA is very much more of like intellectual, smart, cunning, but also kind, and Gale is just like, I'm a going guns a blazing.
I
want to
be
pew,
clear
pew, pew.
I did not gravitate toward Gale either. I was just like, PETA's kind of a wimpy dork. That was like my impression of the first time. And it was like, I didn't like one over the other. I just didn't like either. I was just like middle of the road. Just do you, J-Law. That was about my first impression. Now I like, I just feel like as a movie watcher, I think I've developed more and have like a more of like a, I get to understand the characters and their motivations. And that's kind of why I encourage, I guess, second watches altogether, because you're not playing, sometimes if you miss things and you're not playing catch up, you know what's going on. And so you can really kind of psychoanalyze the characters and really start to like them as who they are. And I really liked PETA in this first one. He was a genius, and Katniss didn't respect how good of a spot he put her in based on the little moves he made early on.
And one of the things too that I also enjoy watching, like rewatching this, and like I said, I had gone into this entire movie franchise having already read the books. However, I've been so far removed, and I feel like in the moment when I was watching at the time, I was just so ecstatic to be watching the movie that I wasn't picking up on all the little Easter eggs. But there are so many little details that they implemented in the first movie that you don't even, like, there's so many callbacks. When you get to the end of the series, there's so many things that they laid the groundwork for in the first movie just by little comments here or there. And it's incredible. And even, like, especially now, too, having read the prequel, a lot of people thought that Suzanne Collins wrote the prequel as just kind of like a continued money grab. But there are little things in the first movie, and I haven't reread the books yet. I've read the prequel book, but I haven't reread the original trilogy. But there are little things that are said and done in the first movie that are like kind of tying into stuff in the prequel. And it's just so impressive to me that everything is just tied together and you don't notice those little things on the first watch. Especially if you're a newcomer to the franchise, you're not going to remember those little callbacks from the first movie when you're on movie 4, seeing how things tie together. And it's just so brilliant. It's so brilliant.
So yeah, that's the main thing on my What Are You Up To Wednesday that I want to talk about. So with that, I'm going to kick it over to you.
So we did watch another true crime thing. This one did not make us run out and buy deadbolts. And this one was called Lover, Stalker, Killer. This one also came out in 2024. It's on Netflix. This was a very interesting, and I don't want to give it too much away here, but it's a very interesting documentary about a guy who becomes newly divorced and starts dating on the internet. And then he meets various women. And then one of the women ends up stalking him to the point where his ex/on-and-off-again girlfriend, like her house gets burned down. She's threatening his ex-wife and his kids. There's a shooting. It's wild. And there's so many twists and turns. And there were multiple points throughout this documentary that I looked over at Tectic and I was like, okay, I bet it's this. And then a little bit later on, I was like, okay, I bet it's this. But there were some things you could predict, but there were other things that you just didn't see coming because it's so insane that it's a real story. Like, this almost felt like something that would have been made up for a movie because of how crazy it is. I thought it was wild. We're on a true crime kick here for whatever reason. It's one of those things, and I don't know about you guys, but Friday night, by the time I get home, like, I want to watch something that's not my normal everyday show, but I don't want to get invested in like a lengthy movie. Like, I don't want to think too hard. And something about true crime is just slapping right now. It's my like Friday night sleepy watch. And then I end up not sleepy at like 12 because I'm on the edge of my seat watching a true crime documentary. It's crazy.
And the thing about this one too is I still don't necessarily buy the conclusion because there were things that were stated that just straight up didn't make sense. Like,
and things that didn't get answered ever.
Like, there are crazy people, but there's like, no one's that crazy kind of thing. And it feels like they're just like, well, this must have been how it will happen, and then put a bow on it and moved on. Like, the data and facts that they got were very compelling, but at the same time, some of them seemed a little bit like a stretch. Like, you know, one of the things that you see in like TV shows is they'll take a really grainy image and go enhance, and it enhances it. And that's not a real thing that happens. If you have a shitty quality photo, it's a shitty quality photo, just bigger. Like, and then you can,
the photo evidence though was pretty compelling.
It was, but also where they got it from, and it was just a thumbnail image. And so it was like,
I don't disbelieve that the person who they convicted was involved. I don't.
I agree. I think the person they convicted was involved.
I think there may have been.
But I think there might have been multiple.
Yeah, I think there might have been like somebody else who was involved in all of this. And maybe it's just because they couldn't distill it all down in an hour and a half for us, but it just felt like there was a little bit more to the story that we didn't get. Just a wild and crazy case. And then the other thing is we've continued to watch Succession. I think we're on the second season. We are moving through the show. Tactic, it's funny. He was like, I don't really want to watch this because I keep hearing Kendall looks like me and I have no interest in watching this. And then finally, I was just like, everybody and their mother is telling us, including my own mother, that we have to watch the show. So we're going to watch the show. And I think, was it yesterday? There was a hockey game that I was interested in watching. And he was like, well, now we're not going to have time to watch Succession. So he is very invested in the show. My critique is that I don't like any of the characters. And I think that's by design. I mean, I know it's by design. You're not supposed to like any of them. You do get sucked into all of the different, you know, schemes and I can't say that word, but all the different schemes of this family and all of the different members and how sometimes they trust each other and seem like they come together and unite. And then other times it seems like they're just trying to like stab each other in the back. And some of them just have really weird quirks. It is a very interesting show. I understand why this won a lot of awards. I understand why this is so critically acclaimed. The hour-long episodes don't feel like they take an hour. You go through them pretty quickly. And it is a very entertaining watch. I believe there's only 3, maybe 4 seasons. So like,
we're almost done.
We're not quite. We're like a third of the way through. And I'm interested to see where it goes from here. Because my only thing that I can see this, you know, easily slipping into is like the same cycle over and over and over again of like the same stuff. So I hope it doesn't, you know, wear out its welcome. I hope the 3 seasons that are here are like well thought out because so far, so good. And then last but not least, Love is Blind. Chelsea, you're gonna make me like Jimmy. What the hell? That is all I have to say on that.
Damn it, Chelsea.
Anything else you'd like to say, Tactic, to our adoring public?
I could tell them to stay safe and keep on podcasting.
All right, then we'll do that. Thank you again for joining us this week. We're sorry that you're missing Illegal. I know he brings the joy to most of your faces. You'll just have to deal with us this week. But we appreciate you hanging in there, listening to us talk about Pokemon, Ghostbusters, Succession, The Hunger Games, which Twilight dad we like the best. We appreciate you and we hope to see you next week. And until then,
stay safe and keep on podcasting.